Welcome to our very first show about farming in Aotearoa. I have a very special person with me who is going to take us through history and also what is currently occurring out in Aotearoa with regards to farming. Peter Burke, welcome to Coast Access Radio.
G'day, great to be here.
Nice to see you. We're going to talk about something that I had not actually heard of and didn't know was a thing, Māori farming.
Yeah, it's something that's really a bit of a secret in New Zealand. It's, you know, we see Māori in a very different perspective when we look on television and see what's happening. But get outside of Johnsonville, dare I say it, and you suddenly arrive in a new area of the country, the back country, the heartland, and suddenly you start to see Māori. You probably don't recognise it. You probably see some strange signs on farms that say, Trust 5B, Wairarapa Trust. You think, what on earth is that? But what you don't see is behind that is probably a wonderful farm. So the thing that I've become involved in as a farming journalist, and I've been that for most of my life, is to get involved in Māori farming on the periphery. I'm not an expert in it. It's the last thing I'd claim to be. But I happen to work for the Ahu Whenua Trust, which runs a competition for the top Māori farmer of the year and the top young Māori farmer of the year. So that's the basis of what I'm going to talk about today.
I love it. And what you've brought in is a beautiful book that you brought in with regards to the trophy. There's a trophy that is it every year? There's a competition?
Yeah, the competition's every year. It's interesting. We'll just go back in the history for a moment. It's quite fascinating because, and this is, again, something that goes back a long way. This competition has now been running for 90 years. So it's the longest running agricultural competition in New Zealand. Interesting enough, it's also a competition for the Bledisloe Cup. Now, every New Zealander knows that there is a Bledisloe Cup that we beat the Australians in every year, and probably will beat them next year with a bit of luck, where they might send their college first 15 along and probably do a better job than the current lot are doing.
Quite possibly.
Anyway, but so this all starts back in the 1930s when we have a Governor General in New Zealand called Lord Bledisloe, who was a farmer in the UK in his own right, a very successful farmer. He actually ended up being the president of the Royal Agricultural Society. And then we have a very great Māori leader, Sir Aparana Nata, very, very well known from up in the East Coast, up in Tarawhiti. And the two of them obviously got together. And I know that Nata was keen to see Māori grow their farms. I mean, it used to be a bit of, people used to slag off at Māori, I guess, a lot about their farms. They were pretty rough and ready. Anyway, he and Lord Bledisloe got together and said, look, let's see what we can do about this. And as a result of that, the two of them came together and Bledisloe donated the Bledisloe Cup, and they have created what is now known as the Ahu Whenua Trophy. In the early days, it was for every sort of farm, so it was basically dairy farm won the first competition, and that was in 1933, believe it or not. So it's
very
pretty basic, hey, isn't it? Yeah,
but unbelievable as well. So 1933 is the first
The first competition, yeah, and we've got a book where I can show you at some stage about the winners of that competition. Swinton's up in the Eastern Bay of Plenty, they won it. And it goes on, and then it has gaps in its life, like during World War II it dropped away, obviously.
Sure.
It came back again, then it dropped off again. And it's been revitalised in about the last 12 to 13 years, and that's when I've become involved in it. But it was something I never knew anything about. I thought I knew a bit about agriculture in this country, but I was just absolutely gobsmacked when I suddenly found out by chance, working for my company Rural News, I saw this thing, Ahu Whenua Trophy, what on earth is that? I might go on that. It was up near Hawke's Bay, so I thought, that's far enough, I can drive up there. And I went up there and suddenly found myself on this massive great farm, Tarawera Station, and it was big because to go around the farm, we had to hop on the back of a quad bike, which you're not allowed to do now, but you could then. And we went around for a tour of this
farm. You're not allowed to go on a quad bike?
Well, not double up on it so much. You know, you've got to be careful and you've got to wear helmets. They didn't in those days. We just
boring.
We just hopped on the back and, you know, you said your Hail Marys as you went around, it didn't fall off. But anyway, so, and that really opened my eyes as to what was there. And at that stage, the organisers of the competition came to me and said, would you like to work for us? We'd be keen to have someone with your farming background working for us. And I do have a knowledge of agriculture, but none of Māori. And that's how I became involved. So just this week, the entries are opening now for the 2024 competition for the Ahu Whenua Trophy. So we have three Bledisloe Cups now. Now, we are better. New Zealand can never lose a Bledisloe Cup because we've got three of them. We've got one for dairy, one for sheep and beef, and one for horticulture. And there was actually a fourth one, believe it or not, related, and that actually is run by Horticulture New Zealand, and they present a Bledisloe Cup every year for the Horticulturalist of the Year, the Grower of the Year. So there are actually five Bledisloe Cups that New Zealand hangs on to at the moment. Only one is possibly going across the ditch, but it's unlikely to, I can see, in the foreseeable future. And Lord Bledisloe was responsible for all of those. The latest addition to these was actually Horticulture, which came into being in 2020, and they had to make a new cup, and it was a really big job. They ended up having to get it made in Britain. No one in New Zealand could make the cup in the same way that it was made here. So they went back, they got the design, they went over, got everything sorted, and it's a beautiful cup. And these cups are beautiful. They're just like the ones that Richie McCaw and others, you know, hang above their heads, and everyone, you see it on the front page of the Don Post or whatever. But the Ahu Whenua competition actually is a bigger party than perhaps the All Blacks do. We get up to 900 people for our final.
Wow, that's a competition. Party.
It's a party. It's a big one. It's a huge one.
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yeah.
Do we know the meaning of us? Whenua is obviously land.
It's sons of it's sons of the soil.
Sons of the soil.
Yeah, I think that's the.
That's beautiful.
It's actually the interesting thing there about that. I think there's the Chinese also have a similar, and they've called their book, which is similar to this, Sons of the Soil as well.
Okay.
So I think that's roughly the translation. I don't speak Tereo, so I'm not going to get myself too much into that. But that's essentially what it is.
Okay.
It's a fascinating competition. So at the moment we've got the entries out. We're searching for Māori farmers, be they individual farmers, be they trusts, corporations, and some of these are very, very big. That's one thing we need to talk about, and that's size of Māori farming.
Yeah.
It is a scale that we don't often sort of recognise.
Okay.
Know?
So is it comparable to traditional farming that we're used to seeing?
Some bits bigger.
Really?
If you looked at, if I look at some of the farms, and I'm thinking of one that I've been to a number of times up in Tarawhiti, Whangarawa Farm. It's a big Māori farm, sheep and beef farm, 100,000 stock units, which is big.
That's big, yeah.
I remember taking the previous Irish ambassador up to that farm to show him. We had an Ahu Whenua dinner up in Gisborne, and he said to the manager, Richard Schofield, "Well, what are you doing today? You're shearing." He said, "Yeah." He said, "How many?" He said, "Oh, well, 37,000 ewes." And I think poor Peter, you know, the average flock size in Ireland, I think, is 300. So it's a bit of a mind blower. But
it's a lot of sheep.
It's a lot of sheep. And then you look at dairy farming, and I can give you an example of another farm up in the Magakino, 10,000 cows, one operation. There's scale is something that people don't get. Now, that's not to say there aren't ordinary individually owned Māori farms. There are some people who've won the competition in recent years who have got their own farms. They'll be, you know, a husband and wife or family farm, and they also are in for the trophy as well. It's not just big ones that win it. It's what they do on the farm that gets them through.
Can you explain a bit more about that then?
Yeah, so the issue is I mean, obviously the financial side is important,
yeah.
But there's also things around tikanga. It's around how they look after their community, what their cultural side is, how are cultural sites on the farm protected. The environment is obviously very, very important. So there's a whole range of things that count in this competition. And it's not just, is it the most profitable, the biggest farm?
Yeah.
It's got to be all the other bits and pieces together, and they all add up. So we have the criteria is set, and they're set out in this book, and we have a very interesting way of doing it. The book that we've got here is produced every year for the competition, and that incorporates the details of the three finalists. Now, just to go back, we'll backtrack a bit. So we have the competition now. We get the entrants in. In January, a group of judges will go around and talk to all those entrants. And out of those entrants, there might be six or seven or eight, they will pick three finalists. And the three finalists are then announced at a function at Parliament, where there's a minister or someone important there. And then after that, we produce this booklet, which has all the details of those three farms. It's extensive. If you look at it, it has all the financials, it has all the tikanga, it has everything you want to know about that farm, the people, the governance structure, what they've done, where they've come from. And what I find interesting is that every one of those farms, whether it's owned by individuals or whether it's owned by trusts or in corporations, there is a wonderful story behind it. It's just not, the story is lovely. I love They call me a journalist. I don't think I really am. I'm more of a storyteller. I'm a bullshitter, you know. Come on. That's part of my Irish heritage. But they tell their stories beautifully. And I think that's what I love hearing, that they'll get up and say, well, we came from this way. Did you know our ancestors did this? We bought back our land. And I think it's a wonderful example of how Māori have progressed. I get really upset when I see Māori being demonised in some ways for not doing things. But when I go out in the field and think, I wish so many people could just come out and see what I see.
Mm.
I don't think a lot of Māori even know it. Perhaps a lot of urban Māori are detached from that.
Yeah.
But what's happening in the provinces is absolutely quite amazing.
The book that you're referring to is a handbook, a field day handbook that's produced, looks like, every year. And I'm looking at last year's handbook, and it's Excellence in Māori Farming Award 2022, Sheep and Beef. And it is very extensive. It does have a bit of a, well, it's got the farm description. It has who the principals are of governance, strategy. I mean, it is really, really detailed. It's got the size, the total hectare. It's got what's grazing on the property. This is a lot of work that goes into this. Who actually does all this work?
The work comes out of each farmer's benchmark. So there was a group of judges who go through and benchmark each farm. So that information comes in there. The entrants themselves have to provide a certain amount of information. But the team I work for, a couple of the people there, put that together. They do a wonderful job.
It's amazing. Writing.
It's a lot of work in it. I do a little bit of work, and mine's very minor relative to the others, looking at the history of where... What we do every 3 years, we go back and see who were the three finalists the previous year, and then we write up what they've done in the past 3 years, so we can actually look at where they've come from, having been a finalist. Where have they come from? Where's the winner? What have they done? So there's we're trying to, you know, carry the alumni of the event through as much as we can, and those people who are winners, who are finalists, most of them come along to the big event, which we've talked about. But that book, I think, is quite impressive, and it's a credit to all those who do it. I think on the last one, the horticulture one I've got here, you can see the very beautiful carved base for the trophy. That was specially carved.
Ah, well, that's different to
it's
the
different.
One
it's different. So yes, so every trophy is different. They're not the same.
Oh, I see.
And there's great. When we have a competition, when we get our banners up, they have to be the trophy for that competition. They can't be any old trophy. They're quite different. They're similar in size. They're similar in a broad sense appearance, but they're different.
So these trophies, you're saying before, there's a horticultural one, there's a farming one. So are there four?
There's three for us in Ahuwhenua.
Okay.
There's sheep and beef, dairy, and horticulture.
Oh, I see. So
and the other one is sort of outside of that, and then the rugby one we don't compete for either.
So I just wanted to ask you in a little bit more detail about, well, I wanted to point out actually some of the key strategies that are put into these farms. So this is, so it's such a detailed book, we could talk about this for hours, but some of the key strategies: growing their income through changing their business model, so they're looking at the way that they do business on a constant basis, adoption of strategies to reduce our environmental footprint, and creating more jobs through changes to our business model.
It is really interesting.
Excellent stuff.
It is. I mean, I'll give you an example of that. There's a farm at just south of Rotorua, around Lake Rerifakaitu, which is sort of formed out of part of the Tarawera eruption, Onaku. Interestingly enough, had a number of dairy farms. They've recently converted one of their cow farms, their bovine ones, to an ovine one, to a sheep milking operation, because it reduces the environmental footprint on that land. So you're getting people who are looking outside the square. And one of the things that I've noticed in a lot of these farms is that don't compare Māori farms to Māori farms. Compare Māori farms to Pākehā farms.
Mm.
And they rate incredibly highly. For example, the one at Whangaroa is a massive operation, and they are the only farm in New Zealand that is globally recognised by McDonald's, the ones that you have those beautiful hamburgers with. They're a globally recognised farm because they sell their beef to McDonald's. And McDonald's have come out to that farm, audited the place, and said it's the best. Now, the other lovely piece about that farm, just as a complete aside, is you've probably seen Whale Rider. That's
yes.
Where Whale Rider
beautiful.
Was filmed.
Whangaroa,
if you go down to the marae there, what do you see but Whale Rider?
Oh.
It's just the scenery on that farm, looking out to the Pacific, is absolutely beautiful. I gather they were quite badly hit by the recent cyclone. I haven't talked to them since. But there are examples all around of sites which are absolutely beautiful. And you know, some are scale, but some are quite small. Some of, you know, if you look at some of the horticultural blocks, one of the winners has been quite small. It doesn't mean size counts.
Mm.
But then there's another a big horticultural outfit, Ngāi Tuakarangi, based largely in the Bay of Plenty, but they've got operations down in Hawke's Bay, massive operation. They had 40 hectares of covered kiwi fruit in Hawke's Bay, some of which got wiped out by Gabriel. Oh. I've been to that farm. They've lost about 10 or 20% of their production, but they're huge. And one of the biggest suppliers of kiwi fruit in New Zealand.
That's amazing.
So I think that's what I find interesting, that you get to see a perspective that you don't. I'm not saying that pakeha farms aren't big, not good. I'm not trying to, you know. I'm just saying put them in perspective and say, okay, there's some pretty good ones around.
So why is this such a well-kept secret?
This is why I failed the question here to some extent. But there's a wonderful phrase in Māori which I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try to and make a fool of myself. But the English translation is, the kumara does not boast about how sweet it is.
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
Isn't it beautiful?
That's really lovely. Say it again.
The kumara does not boast about how sweet it is. And I think that sums up Māori to a large degree.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you that because they're in some ways quite reluctant to almost tell you these stories. They're very proud of what they do. But they're sort of that sort of shy Kiwiness. The Kiwis are never Aussies are out there, even if they've, you know, the English will do a lap of honour when they've been beaten by the All Blacks by only 20 points. but the Māori don't skite about how good they are. So I think that's something that's quite different and quite interesting. But that phrase I think is beautiful. I think that's been one that we should all take into account every time.
I think so too.
It's a beautiful one.
It's a lovely one to remember.
Yeah.
We've only just scratched the surface of the story, but before we round out for the day, how do they nominate? Do they nominate themselves?
Yeah, they do, and they will be encouraged to nominate. There'll be a group of our people will go around, and other friends and other people, like in the case of Dairy the Fonterras, the Dairy NZ people will go out, the consultants will go out, and he'll be briefed about the competition and say, well, look, why don't you enter this time? You've got a very good operation. Why don't you do that? And they'll be encouraged to do that. And a lot depends on where they're at. And, you know, I think sometimes we had a situation last year with horticulture, for example, where a couple of the entrants had to pull out because of Gabriel, because they just couldn't do it. It was too hard for them. And in some cases, the farms will say, well, okay, yeah, we'd love to, but we're not quite ready. We need another year or so to go into it. I think the one benefit that comes out of this, which is important to stress, is that there is the prestige in winning it. There's the prestige in being a finalist. But also when the judges go around, we have a two-pronged approach to judging. So the first round is to select the three finalists. But all of those who enter get an appraisal of their farming operation by those judges. So they get an idea of what they could do better.
Mm.
And then when we have a second round, they're a completely separate panel that comes in, and they then look at the farm in a different light. So you don't get just one group of people judging it. You get a completely different group coming in. And part of that also is that the tikanga side is looked carefully at. There was someone who looks at the Māori of the operation, how it's working. So they're judged on all those things as well, how they perform. And I think that's the beauty of it. It just sets it aside. You go to a lot of award dinners, and I've been to quite a few. You get invited to a few. But for me, if I was to choose one event that is the best, this is by far the best event I've ever been to in my life.
Wow.
That's saying quite a bit for me.
Yeah. And you said 900 people are there.
We had 900 this year. And I think the fewest we've had was, I think, about 650, and that was because we couldn't fit any more in the hall. That was in Whanganui. So that filled the place out.
That's such a big number.
But it's...
And this is yearly, you know, it's not like it's every 10 years.
This is every year we get. So you'll get the whānau will come along, and there'll be the VIPs there. We'll get probably 20% of VIPs along there. We'll get the politicians, the heads of the farming organisations along.
Mm.
Other businesses will be there that support it, sponsors. I mean, this is funded by sponsorship, so it doesn't generate any money at all, basically. Mm. It has very little income. So we've got some very good sponsors in this case. We've got Fonterra, we've got Dairy NZ, others like that, Ministry for Primary Industry, Maori Development Agency, Te Puna Kōkiri, they're all in part of this. So the competition is supported strongly by government, strongly supported by industry, who want to see Maori agribusiness grow. And it is, if you think about it, just a quick number here, about 15% of the sheep and beef that's exported from New Zealand comes from off Maori farms. About 10% of dairy, I think it's actually higher than that, but that's what they're saying, of dairy comes off Maori farms. And around about between 10 and 12% of kiwi fruit come off Maori operations. So they're big. The Maori economy is worth, I think, about $70 billion from memory.
That's extraordinary. That really is. Peter, how can people find out more about what we're talking about
well,
today?
It's very simple, actually. Just go on the website and you can just do simple Peter Burke style and Google Ahu Whenua and Ahu Whenua Trophy and you'll find it. We've got a great website there and that'll give you all the information. So the website's there up and running. It'll show you all the details, all the stuff you want to know, and it's there. A couple of clicks and you're there.
For those who don't know how to spell Ahu Whenua, it's A-H-U-W-H-E-N-U-A. Peter Burke. That's a delight. I'm looking forward to next time. What are we going to talk about next time?
We might talk a bit about the book that we've got, the history of it. Go into that a bit more detail. What do you reckon about that?
I think so. Is this the book you brought in today?
Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
It is stunning. It's a really beautiful book. I'm really impressed as well by the quality of the work that's gone into this trophy, into the production, into the printing. It's really beautiful. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous job that's been done here.
Yeah, it is. And I think
hats off to whoever's organised.
Well, I think there's a great team of people and they're very skilled. And of course we do. There's a video made of all the winner, all the finalists. We've got a team. It's all done beautifully, and it's just it's a great gig.
Look forward to talking to you again next time. This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.